Let's go to a live seminar now where you get a chance to listen in, and let's see if we can figure out why do most people become so fearful about their health, and what are some simple common sense approaches we can take that can free us of the fear and, more importantly, put us in charge. Listen in right now. What I want you to understand today is it's not the principles you're going to learn that are going to make a difference in your health. It's the beliefs you're going to develop about what's most important. And by the way, I said your money, your spirituality, your children. What's the other obvious area you don't want to give up to an expert? Which one? Your health. You can't allow someone to make you believe that your health is such a complex task that only some expert can know what to do. Because I've got to tell you something. The ratio of results that these experts are producing in our culture are not very pretty. In the United States, which is a good example, a good barometer of most of the states represented or the countries represented in this room, one in every two people now die of what? Heart disease. One out of three from cancer. I mean, think about that. That's staggering. Look around the room and imagine half the people here are going to die from a heart attack. That isn't necessarily true to this room. In fact, our job is to make sure that isn't true in this room, but statistically, that's accurate. Then look at the ones that are left. One out of three are going to have cancer. Now, there is no excuse for that because those things are completely lifestyle-driven. But what we keep doing is treating the effect rather than dealing with the real cause, dealing where the source of the problem is. That paradigm of treating symptoms is an old paradigm and it doesn't work. And even doctors today know it. That's why today you see more and more doctors are in a position where they're looking at things from a totally different holistic point of view. In fact, today, when most people still think germs are the cause of disease, if you read the number one textbook from Harvard Medical School, it makes it clear that germs are not the source of disease. That you can have all these germs in your body and not have the disease. And you can have disease and those germs aren't available. The germs are a sign of life. That the biggest problem is if you create an environment that's polluted, germs are going to magnify. They're going to go crazy and they're going to start feeding and creating their own waste. And their tearing down of the body and waste happens only because you create an environment where that's possible. If you got tons of mosquitoes and you go kill them all, which is the allopathic medicine's approach, right? Pathology is the study of what? Study of disease. Now, if you wanted to be rich, would you study poor people? If you wanted to be healthy, would you want to study people that are ill? That's the way that we've operated from. It's a backwards way of trying to figure out how to get healthy. Because it's not about health. It's about maintaining or dealing with a problem after it's occurred. And very often the way we do that is based upon this concept of the body as a mechanism rather than the body as something that really is driven by the mind and spirit. So today is about let's open our minds to a different set of beliefs and let's be careful about one thing. Most truth in life goes through three phases because there are convictions in society. First, it's totally ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. Because if the ridicule doesn't do it, now it starts hitting people's convictions and they get very fearful. When a man suddenly says, no, the earth is not the center of the universe, it's not the center of even the solar system, the sun is, Copernicus said this, what happened to him? First it was ridiculed, then what did they do? Stoned him, threw him in jail, right? Made him have to recant everything, destroyed his books, violently opposed. And then the third step, truth becomes accepted as obviously true. Self-evident is the word. All truth goes through those three phases. So for us as people, if we want to grow, we want to get ourselves open to as many things as possible first. And the reason I tell you that, again, is your philosophy of health is going to affect your health more than any specific thing you're going to eat or do. Because your philosophy of health is going to determine the choices you make, the way you deal with dis-ease in your body. It's going to determine really the choices you make, and the choices you make are going to determine your physical and emotional and future destiny. So be careful about convictions today. Now, the metaphor I've used throughout the years, the simple one is look at the example of going to New York City when there's a trash strike. If you've ever been there, it's happened three or four times. Trash will pile up in the city by about the third week so high on the street, it's unbelievable. And they have rats everywhere when this occurs. How intelligent would it be for you to come along and go, look at this trash all these rats brought. You know the trash was there first for the rats to come. But when we think about disease, most of us look around and look for something to blame. Whenever it looks like something's the cause, take a deeper look. It may just be a correlation. And if you respond to that as your principle, you'll live in fear, and worse, you won't change things to make it better. So what I want to give you then is a good example. Let's look at the most modern example of this, which is the flu. Let's think about the flu for a second. The flu. When does the flu have a season in most countries of the world? Yes or no? Is it holiday season or the normal work season? Quick, out loud. Holiday season. Raise your hand if it's the holiday season in your country, because in this room we have 76 nations. Raise your hand if holiday season is the primary time which the flu hits. Raise your hand nice and high so I can see. Now, what happens during the holiday season that might add to toxicity or to a deficiency in your nerve energy where you're using more? Okay, do you tend to eat and drink even more partying, even more intensely than usual, yes or no? Plus, as you're gearing up for the holiday season, do you have your normal responsibilities still very often, yes or no? But then you have additional responsibilities, okay? Plus you have things like the outlaws are coming into town, the in-laws, right? People you're not always thrilled about that you got to have to deal with. Is there politics? Is there emotion during this time? Yes or no? Even if you love the holidays and you exert more excitement, does that occur? Yes or no? And in most countries in the world, the holiday season is an extreme of temperature. And in this country, it's the cold season. In some countries, it's the hot season is the holidays. But it's an extreme of temperature. Your body has to use more nerve energy to either cool yourself down if you live in a very hot environment, or to heat yourself up if you're in a cold environment. When you're in these environments, you're making more and more demands of energy, and when you use more energy than you can take back, what gets shut off? The elimination process. As that happens, your body's no longer at functional efficiency. As that happens, toxicity builds up. Now, what does this look like? In this country, it starts with Thanksgiving, doesn't it? What happens at Thanksgiving? People sit together and say, it's time to give thanks for our year, for all that we're grateful for, and let's thank our body by giving it a really gentle, nutritious, well-balanced meal. Is that what happens? No. What is it? It's called pig out time. And what do people have for Thanksgiving? What do they have? Come on. Turkey. What else is on the plate? Mashed potatoes. What else is there? Gravy. Desserts. One little token vegetable on the side that nobody touches. Pure acid, pure waste, pure poison in mass. And when you've eaten so much, by the way, do you eat a lot? Eat so much you can't breathe. And you go, you push away, they go, I'll never eat another bite again. Pumpkin pie? Okay. Coffee? All right. Isn't that true? And what do you do after that meal? Do you go out and say, oh, God, I feel so good. Let's go out and take a nice run. Let's go to the movie. Let's go for a jog. What do you want to do? Boom. Your brain goes into total overwhelm, doesn't it? Your body tries to shut down. You're exhausted. And by the way, when you have that meal that one day, the next day, you immediately go on a cleanse, right? Immediately go, okay, I overdid it. I have the right to overdo it. But now, the next 3 or 4 days, I'm going to eat totally pure. I'm going to cleanse. I'm going to drink water. I'm not going to drink anything else but water. I'm going to make sure I get lots of nutrients. I'm going to clean out my colon. Is that what people usually do the next day? There's leftovers. Got to have the leftovers. Can't waste them. There are people dying in China. Right? And by the way, is there some stress usually around this time? You bet there is. And does it end there? No, because you say, well, Christmas is coming. You know, it's the party time. So do you tend to drink more, yes or no? Eat more, yes or no? You go to the company party, right? You have a good time. You think, it's time to see the boss looped. It'll be much more fun to be around him, right? You have fun. And then when that ends, you got Christmas just down the road. And you got more stress and more things trying to do, and excitement and happiness, energy, energy, energy. And on Christmas, you usually have a really small, nutritious meal honoring, you know, the day that this is supposed to be about. No. You eat another huge meal. You have more party, more innovation, and maybe even extreme of temperatures maybe too. And then on top of all this stuff, you don't finish there because New Year's is around the corner. And New Year's is the ultimate party, isn't it? And what do people do in mass on New Year's? Drink what? Alcohol is the total product of decay. It is pure acid in the system. It destroys cells. It interrupts everything. It overwhelms the body. Now here's what's interesting. When does the flu season hit? That's right. It always shows up late December, early January, usually right after the first. And you do it year after year after year, this bug shows up. And by the way, people know it's a bug. They wake up. And what are their symptoms? What are the symptoms of the flu? Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, fever, chills, aches and pains. Are those the symptoms of a body that's been poisoned? Yes or no? Are those the symptoms of a body trying to get rid of poison? Yes or no? But when we look for the cause of this to deal with it, we look because we've been conditioned that it must be a germ. So we look for the germ. We look for the flu virus. Not even a germ anymore, not a bacteria, something that actually is alive. We look for a virus. Doctors in this room, correct me, doctors, if I'm wrong. A virus has never been proven to be alive. None, ever. Everything that's alive has several points. It consumes things on its own. It eliminates things, and it has its own free movement. No virus has ever been proven to see that. To see a virus, you have to have an electron microscope. They judge them by shapes. You're seeing now modern medical schools are actually talking about viruses may just be pieces of spent cells. We see them in a particular area, and we think it's the cause. It's no more the cause than the rats are the cause. You've got to get this waste out. You must cleanse and detoxify your body. If you don't, you're going to pay a severe price. It's uncomfortable. When it's uncomfortable, go, I paid this price because I did stupid things. I didn't love my body. I put things in it didn't belong. Or I enervated myself. I need a rest. I need to drink fluids. I need to get this out of my system, and I'll be fine. I don't want to aggravate it or shut down the process. I got to let it run its course. If I let it run its course, it'll be healthy. So I just wanted you to listen in on this seminar because I wanted you to realize you don't have to live in fear. That there are some fundamental things that if you apply your common sense can free you of this.